The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 27th of September, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Gil Holzman, Chief Executive Officer and President of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas. ECO is ticker there. And Gil discusses the final environmental clearance certificate they've received to drill an exploration well in Namibia. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about the following stocks: Bushveld Minerals, BMN, Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO, and Cradle Arc, CRA. Plus, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, talks about the following stocks, big companies with news out today: Saga Group, SAGA, IG Group, IGG, and Boohoo, which is, of course, Boo. Plus, I have a list of the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see the top 10 of both these lists on the front page of Vox Markets, which is voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, CEO and President of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas. ECO is the ticker there. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Justin. Good morning.
Morning to you. Now, yeah, you got some news out on the approval to drill PEL 30 offshore Namibia. We'll get into the details of that in a bit. Before we do, Gil, as always, for people brand new to the podcast or not familiar with the company, summarise, what is Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas all about, please?
So Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas is an AIM-listed and TSX-listed oil exploration company. We're exploring for oil in the two hottest postcodes on the globe right now, in Namibia and in Guyana. In Namibia, we have offshore four offshore blocks in partnership with Azinam, with Namcor, and with Tullow. And in Guyana, we have a block in partnership with Tullow. And the recent farming entrant into the block was Total, the second largest oil company in the world. So they are our partners in Guyana. We are directly adjacent to the Stabroek block, operated by Exxon, that was the host of a recent 4 billion barrels worth of oil discoveries in the past 2 years. And we are about to drill both Namibia and Guyana, hopefully, during 2019.
Yes, so this is one more sort of tick in the box, I suppose, progression towards the drill. So you've got government approval. Take us through the details.
Yes, exactly. Actually, Namibia is considered to be one of the most green and environmental friendly country in the world. They have a lot of respect to their nature, and it's a host of a lot of mammal migration, sea mammals migration, etc. So we had to undergo a very strict and long environmental certificate process. And yesterday we got the nod from the Ministry of Environment and Tourism of Namibia, which is a very powerful ministry over there, to go ahead and drill our Cooper block. And so we got the final certificate, environmental clearance to drill it. And we plan to drill it sometimes next year, either in Q3 2019 or towards the end of 2019. Over that block, we are partners with Tullow. We are the operators. We also partner with Azinam, which is probably the most dominant and the most, I would say, experienced Namibian explorer today. They have a lot of acreage there, and they made a full basin mapping. And also, we are partners with the National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia, NAMCO. So basically what it means, although a small tick in the box, as you called it, but that puts our company towards the next year with a drill-ready prospect, both in Namibia and in Guyana. In Guyana, we just published a CPR a month ago, which suggests that the best estimate, we have 3 billion barrels worth of oil on our block on Orindwik. In Namibia, the Osprey prospect on the Cooper block has the potential to host around 800 million barrels. It looks very, very interesting. A lot of sands and fan plays. So we are going to drill 3 to 4 wells in 2019, 2 to 3 in Guyana, and at least one in Namibia on our Cooper block.
Yeah, well, I did say a small tick in a box there, but when you talk about the size of those prospective resources, that's a big tick in a big box, really, isn't it?
No, that's a very big prospect. The Osprey prospect is a very interesting and big and highly prospective prospect. I don't want to exact name numbers of chance of success, but it looks very, 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 very promising. As I said, we are drill ready, and we will drill it hopefully next year in partnership with Talo and with Azina. In parallel to our drilling campaign that will start Q3 2019. In Guyana. So there's a lot of drilling activity on our acreage in both Namibia and Guyana next year. In parallel to that, Chariot Oil and Gas, together with Azinam, will spud yet another well in Namibia in the coming days, what they call Prospect S on PL71, which is a bit south to where we are. But we have two adjacent blocks to that, so we will look at the results carefully. As you know, Exxon made an entrance into the basin. They now took the two blocks in the center of the basin, and we are exactly surrounding them with our four blocks. So there's a lot of activity going on in Namibia, and we learn a lot of new information and encouraging information from every well being drilled. The last well was drilled by Talok, the Cormorant prospect, although unsuccessful commercially. There was not an oil discovery. It did have a strong hydrocarbon presence and shows, which suggests that the source rock is active over there, which suggests that the reservoir is well built. The problem with Cormorant was seal, so the oil was migrated. We only hope and believe that it was migrated into our blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the moment, you know, I mean, looking at the bigger picture, I mean, oil prices looking good at the moment. I mean, do you sense that, you know, you're in there, you're in the actual industry itself, talking to people. Is there a more bullish feel around oil at the moment?
Let me divide it. If industry-wise, there's a lot of activity. The industry, even the biggest super majors, they are all on exploration hunt at the moment. Exxon, Total, Shell, all these companies, they are looking for new acreage, new place to participate in. Total and Exxon recently entered into Namibia. Shell is going to drill towards the end of the year 2 wells in Namibia. Total is going to drill next year in Namibia. Exxon, as I said, took two blocks in the center of the basin where we are located. So we see a lot of industry activity, and industry is definitely going back into exploration big time. The market is always a bit slower to follow, but in the past few months, we see a lot of interest both from the market side, whereas until today it was energy focused funds. Today we speak with generalists, we speak with a lot of retail, of course, that are highly motivated by the oil prices and by the new exploration spree. So I think 2019 is going to be a very, very interesting year for the industry, and it's going to be a very good year for Eco Atlantic.
Okay, excellent stuff. Well, one final thing, Gil. You know, three reasons now. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of the company, but are not following you yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
One is Namibia wells, at least 2 or 3 this year, Chariot and Shell, and we are next in line for next year. Two is Guyana. And three is quite easy. Three is the 3 billion barrels of worth of prospects that we have in our Orinduik block in Guyana, which we're going to drill Q3 2019 with Total and with Talo. Just so you know, we are fully funded for this wells campaign in Guyana, and we are carried by Talo on our well in Namibia. So there's no financial risk to us, and there's a huge upside. 3 billion barrels in Guyana with additional 800 million barrels in Namibia.
Excellent stuff, Gil. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin. Have a nice day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Marvellous stuff. And I find at the moment everything just grinding. I don't know how much attention you pay to stock prices, but I find a lot of stocks, you know, junior exploration and all that stuff, are grinding lower. You know, it's a bit of a sticky market at the moment, a sliding market, you know? What's your thoughts? Is it a bit bearish, the feel at the moment, or what?
Yeah, I think there's been a certain amount of investor anticipation relating to Donald Trump's tariff situation, that he might create the end of the world by raising tariffs on all Chinese goods. Mm. But there is also a thought amongst some good investors that actually the Trump negotiating style could well lead us into a zero tariff situation with China, with zero tariffs on either side. But Trump is going to want some very significant concessions from the Chinese before that happens, and he's also going to want to see the Chinese stick to what they agree to, which of course, as we know, is not necessarily what reality is at the end of the day, but we'll see. And for the time being, markets are a little bit nervous about that, and so we wait for confidence to return.
Yeah. Did you see his speech at the UN?
I missed that.
Well, he did. He stood up there, and you know, typical sort of a modest, humble Trump. He did say that his administration in 2 years has achieved more than any administration ever. And people laughed, and then he said, "Well, I wasn't expecting that reaction, but that's fine." But people
they might well laugh, but it would appear that Trump has done more in 2 years in his administration than many other previous governments before him. So he does have a point.
Yeah, he does have a point. Absolutely. I mean, for business, he's obviously helping business and stuff. I just think it's the way he says, "I am fantastic, no one's better." It's that kind of approach. It's just almost a spoof, isn't it? You think, what do you, you know, it's like, it's. I suppose Americans are brash. They don't mind talking themselves up, you know, whereas I think other countries and cultures see it as a bit over the top, you know, whereas he'll just stand there, brash, and think, "I'm the best thing since sliced bread, no doubt." You know, that's completely, you know, unironic, completely, you know, no idea that he's being very subjective, but I just think the UN delegates thought it was quite funny. But fair play, I quite like the way he came back. He did say at the end, he'd say, "Well, I wasn't expecting that reaction, but that's fine, that's fine." And he did smile, you know, and he wasn't funny about it. So I thought that showed a kind of human side to him, really. But anyway, let's talk about specific stocks, because politics always a dodgy ground. I know I get some hate mail now, so someone's saying I'm knocking Trump, but I'm not really, even though I think he's insane. John, let's look at stocks. So we've had some news out from Bushveld. You've talked about Bushveld for a bit. I know they've had a financial... Is it interims they had out? Is that right? Yeah.
Bushveld's interim figures out yesterday. They were pretty much in line with what we would have expected if we were to model the interim numbers. We're certainly looking forward to a better second half. I think it'll be a one-thirds contribution for the first half and two-thirds for the second half. And really, a lot of that's driven by the fact that vanadium prices are very much higher now, but also the fact that the production run rate is also higher through the second half. So that is something to look forward to. The South African rand is weaker, so that's helpful. And it looks like the Vametco business is performing relatively well. So it's not all perfectly good news in there. They did have a stoppage, and so they are double-checking the production estimates for the second half. The Bushveld Energy bit, which is the high-technology area where they are looking to install vanadium redox batteries, these new energy storage devices for grid systems. Their first trial of that hasn't quite worked out, so they're reordering some pieces of equipment and the vanadium electrolyte to have another crack at making that work. But I'm quite hopeful for that going forward. So it does add this high technology element to the business, which actually gives the company an awful lot of upside.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the price didn't sort of... Oh, you know, it was up a little bit, I suppose. Yeah, but I know some people saying to me the news is coming out, it's going to go massive. But you're thinking it'll be more impressive going forward, yeah?
Yes, I think these were actually relatively solid numbers, and they underpin what the company's doing. They say that there's no big red flags in here. And it's got a lot of moving parts, so it swings and roundabouts, but mainly the swing is on the upside, which looks good to me.
Yeah. Okay, cool stuff. Marvellous. It's nice to have an update from Georgian Mining. I had Mike Struthers on the podcast yesterday talking about it, saying he had a meeting. What's your take on that, John?
Yeah, a short but sweet announcement saying that they've been in talking to the Georgian government. They talked to the Georgian Minister of Economy. They've also had a meeting with the Deputy Minister for the Environment. And those discussions have gone well. In fact, they go so far as to say they expect a positive outcome to the license application very soon. So this is really quite encouraging. We're not going to get too excited till we actually see the ink dry on the agreement. But let's see what comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other news out, John, from the companies?
We saw Cradle Arc report that.
What do they do? Take me through their operation again.
They have taken on the Moana copper mine in Botswana.
Yeah,
that copper mine has been a little bit troubled over the years. The usual problem with copper miners, they've gone through the oxide into the transitional ore, the recovery rates fall, and before they get into the sulfide ore underneath, so that's a metallurgical issue. But of course, when your recovery rates fall, the profitability of the operation drops off. They've been hit by some mechanical breakdowns in the last quarter or this quarter. So they reckon they'll only produce 1,000 tons in the third quarter of copper. They'll hopefully produce 4,000 tons in the fourth quarter. That would be good. That will help to restore cash in the company, at least to some degree. Then they're looking to install what's called a dense media separation plant. That plant should transform the fortunes of the company, because what it would mean is that not only can you reduce the costs, you'll increase the throughput through the plant effectively, and in fact produce a lot more copper out of the existing operation, which would be a really nice and positive move.
Mm-hmm. Cradle Arc. And what's the ticker there? Is it CRA? I think it is. Is it? Yeah, CRA is a ticker. Yeah, for people aware of that.
So there is a little bit of a warning there. They have said that they are looking to raise funds to repair some of the machinery, and they'll clearly have to raise some more money in order to fund the dense media separation plant. But I suspect that will be something they'll be able to achieve one way or another.
Marvellous stuff. Excellent, John. Good to chat to you, fella, and hopefully we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of financialorbit.com. You all right, Chris?
Hello, Justin. Very good, very good.
Okay, so what's been happening, the bigger end of the market cap scale this morning? What's the news out, Chris?
Well, we've got to start with a saga, or literally saga. The obviously, it's a company that you and I know nothing about, Justin, as it appeals to the over 50s and beyond. But clearly, it's something which, you know, in about 20 years old time, you and I might be sort of in the hinterlands of. But I'm jesting. But the clearly, saga appeals to that very growing demographic of older people. And, you know, in theory, that should be a great market. If you look at Saga shares, though, they've been an absolute disaster over the last year. They took a huge tumble late last year. They had a bit of a whoopsie in their insurance business. People worried about the dividend. And the shares really haven't recovered. You know, they've been sort of in a very tight range around about 120-something pence for a few months now. They came up with numbers today. Two things strike me from the numbers. Actually, three things, to be honest. The first is that the insurance business, which was the real problem area late last year, it's sort of stabilised. Profits are a little bit down still, but they're getting the new business in. And it seems to me as if they've sort of refocused successfully there. It's still competitive. It's an aggressive area. Lots of people competing in the insurance space. But actually, they've got a very good angle by appealing to the older demographic. And I think they're working out better how to utilise that sort of inherent advantage, or at least knowledge about what that customer base perhaps requires Shell wants based on their, you know, 20, 30 year history. So I think that that part of the business is going a bit better, which is good. That was a part that had the big whoopsie late last year. The exciting news is that they're now fully on track with the launch of their first cruise liner. Obviously, travel's been the other big saga business, but next year they're launching their own cruise liner. And I think that's an exciting move because previously they've been involved in the cruise business, and that's a big growth area, you know, for people who, again, of a slightly older age demographic. Cruising is something which they like to do, and it doesn't personally appeal to me, but there you go, plenty of people go on it, and it is a growth area globally. So I think that launching their own cruise ship is a good move for them. It means they can capture more of that, if you like, benefit or opportunity. So that's still on track. The third and final bit of news is that this one yields 7%, and that obviously raises a few questions. Is it sustainable, etc.? I looked at the numbers today. Interim dividend was held, fine, no problem. It's still a 7% yielder, but actually their debt reduction was pretty good. Actually, it was a debt reduction of about 7%. So put it all together, I think the insurance business is stabilising. The cruise business is going to augment their travel division, and the debt and dividend side is a bit of a tick in the box. So actually, for better or for worse, I can't buy their products because I'm too young, but I like the shares and I would be buying them here.
Marvellous stuff. Cool. Saga, S-A-G-A, of course. I didn't quite look at the chart there. You know the chart a bit. So,
it's a funny chart. It really is. I mean, it's straight line for the last few months after that massive fall in December last year.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, you know. It says, at least it's consolidated. I mean, it says that £1.10 level it hit, and then it came up a level, didn't it? And then it came to 130, 140. Now it's 120, seems like the support level is, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's kind of interesting where we are at the moment, in the sort of the mid to low 120s. So there you go. You may not be able to buy their products, but you can choose whether to buy their shares or not.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Cool. What's next then, Chris?
Well, we've got to have a think about IG Index. So it's probably a company many listeners are very familiar with, maybe directly familiar with. But it's a business which obviously has dominated or been a very important player in many of the financial markets, sort of spread betting and related over the years, well-renowned. But, you know, obviously regulations have become ever tighter, and that's caused a few whoopsies. And if you look at the IG Index share price, it's been under pressure for a while now. We had, I think it was CMC Markets now with a profits warning earlier this week as well. Well, today's news from IG Index is that their CEO, he's been there for 3 years, but he's been in the business far longer than that, has decided to quit. And even though it's in the wider scheme of things fairly orderly, he will be available to the board for the rest of the year. But, you know, he has left them slightly in the lurch because they've admitted that they're looking for a replacement, and that search process sort of started, you know, right now. So get your CVs in if you're interested, I guess. But, you know, it always smacks a little bit of it not being totally orderly or totally kind of anticipated. And I just think this guy has just had enough. I mean, with regulation becoming ever tighter, this guy's seen, if you like, the exciting periods where markets were highly liberalized in these areas, and investors, perhaps they didn't always do well in terms of some of their choices, but ultimately there was a wide range of instruments which a company like IG Index could offer people. But it's becoming more regulated, a bit more utility-like and orderly, and as a consequence, I wonder whether that's contributed to him saying, look, I've had enough of these meetings about regulations, I want to go and do something else. But as I say, the reaction to the share is quite interesting. When I last looked, sharply down, because I think it's just more uncertainty, and in a marketplace where profits have been under pressure because of regulatory oversight.
Yeah, but I mean, these call, it has dropped off a cliff. So, the results, so they had the results as well as this, because it's been dropping off a cliff.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, you know, the results for IG came out reasonably recently, but not today. And it's just, I guess, it's like anything, isn't it? When you have a surprise CEO resignation, questions start getting asked. And, you know, can there be smoke without fire, etc.? Who knows? All I know is when I look at the statement is that It clearly was a surprise to the company too. You know, no company wants to be in a situation where they're having to ask their ex-CEO nicely whether he can pop back in just to help people out or make sure they know where everything is whilst they're trying to appoint his successor, which, you know, is not a great situation to be in. So no, I think it's just a marketplace which is uncertain because you've had the CMC Markets warning earlier this week. So people, I guess, are wondering, look, have put kind of two and two together and made five.
Yeah, absolutely. That is not a good looking chart. It was at nine. A couple of weeks back, it was at not even weeks really, but 2 weeks back, it was at 9.920, and now it's at 6.70. That's a third, but even dropped.
Yeah, no. What you say? They've had numbers in the last few weeks, and the CEO stuff as well today. Just not good. And the market's under pressure, and yeah, there you go. It's for me. I don't own the shares. I think it's a fine, upstanding company, but every company has an appropriate share price, and my feeling is that this one still doesn't attract me at this moment in time.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. Anything else, Chris?
Well, final one's got to be ASOS, or a bit of online retail fashion, to be honest, because I spent a bit of yesterday listening to the Boohoo conference call. Obviously, as you would expect, I'm a big Boohoo fan, often on their website, etc. Now, I jest, obviously, but I really appreciate a sensible business. And Boohoo has done a great job. And they've really tapped into that youthful, fast fashion demographic who wants online access to choose and pick their clothing, and have done extremely well. So good luck to them. Very strong numbers yesterday. But the thing is, what struck me as interesting was late yesterday, we had a placing by ASOS, or in ASOS shares. Now, ASOS is obviously a big sort of competitor to Boohoo. It overlaps at some levels. It's a little bit different in others. But the big shareholder in ASOS who've done very, very well, made an absolute fortune in this company, because as we all know, it has been AIM's best performing share forever, at least that's what it seems like. They had a near 30% stake. I noted yesterday they announced they were going to place just over 2% of the shares, and that's been confirmed earlier this morning, hence why the ASOS shares are down when I last looked a few percent, because of course in order to place that amount of stock you've got to offer it at a little bit of a discount. And you know, it's kind of interesting that they've chosen now to do it, because obviously in the light of the Boohoo results, ASOS shares got a good kick out of that, and I just wonder whether they said, well, you know, guys, it's time now that we start to lose a bit of stock. And even though they are tied up for their remaining 26 point whatever percent shareholding for at least the next 90 days, it just strikes me that once somebody starts to sell, it's going to continue. And you know, they might not necessarily stop until it gets to zero, but it just adds an extra level of sort of burden and fear into the market. And my feeling is, by contrast, the clean shareholder base of Boohoo, or relatively clean shareholder base of Boohoo, is just a bit more attractive at this moment in time, let alone before we get down to sales momentum and fashion choices and, you know, resonance with their underlying consumer demographic and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think ASOS shares, they might have a little bit of a cloud overhanging them for a little while, certainly until they come up with some more numbers and show the market whether their investment in their various distribution expansions is a sensible thing or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. And is that it, Chris, or anything else?
Yeah, no, I mean, loads of other interesting bits about the weather and capital market days, but for another time, as they say.
Yeah, the weather, that's a perennial, isn't it?
Well, the weather is the last resort of the rogue to some level, but let's face it, the weather in the last 9 or 12 months has been kind of so crazy both ways that it has had some impact on many businesses. So yeah, there you go. Just be careful if companies keep on referring to the weather, though, as a reason that they're missing or beating. It tends to be missing when they refer to the weather.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Chris, thanks for that. Speak next week, fella.
That's the plan. See you then.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. By the way, you can see these companies, top 10 of these lists, on the front page here at voxmarket.co.uk. At five, Solo Oil. S-O-L-O. Solo. Of course. At four, Eris Resources. E-R-I-S. I bought some of this stock. I just thought it was too cheap. I've had Millie and Mar Johnson on the podcast several times. They're doing lots of stuff. Zinc in Ireland, gold in Sweden. They've got a big JV partner, Centerra Gold. And they're valued at 2.5 million before today's raise. in the share price, and they had 2.3 million in cash. So their projects are not valued, or their JVs, or their listing, or their management, and they've got quite experienced management. Anyway, so they went a bit berserk, they're up 25%, but still, you know, what, 3 million market cap with 2.3 in cash? At three, Jangada Mines, of course, they did that fundraise after... I did tweet about this yesterday. I said, you know, what's happening next? This fundraise or a decision on Brexit? Because they've been talking about this for 6 months, a fundraise, and the share price has been dragging lower and lower. And finally, they did it today. So JAN, of course, it's a discount, the 3 pence. But that's out the way, and I do believe it's a compelling... project with excellent figures around, a couple of blogs on Jangada, so I do hold, taking a hit, but I topped up today. Of course, there's going to be a bit of volatility, people flipping stock for the places, but long term, I think there's, you know, decent value generation here. Do your own research, it's not investment advice. Okay, at two, Oriole Resources, ORR ticker, and number one, Clontarf Energy. I do hold a bit of this as well, CLON. It's very, you know, speculative, really. But they hold a license just offshore Ghana there in a very prospective area next to Tullow Oil's Jubilee Field, which produces about 100,000 barrels a day. And they've had issues with the government. They're the previous government. It's been going on for years and years. But there's a new government now, and they've recently released RNS saying they're having productive talks with the government. So hopefully this will play out. If it does, I think it could go high. And they've just done a fundraise as well, so they've got a bit of cash. But it's like a, you know, sub 3 million market cap now, £500.5 million in cash, and hopefully something will play out here. But who knows? It's highly risky. Do your own research. Very risky indeed. Very, very risky, but could be big rewardy. Okay. At five, most like the RNSs, Frontera Resources, half year results. At four, Flying Brands, IB announced agreement to develop diagnostic tool. At three, Rehobal Resources, half year report. At two, Sirius Minerals, quarterly progress update. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Greatland Gold, Ernest Giles' project, Meadows Drilling Campaign. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.